in three different residencies in Rockland County, and I had learned a bit about the problems in that county. But I think that now the students are convinced that they can bring about change, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were not at the forefront of an effort to guarantee that the students who attend public schools in that county read the works of Toni Morrison.
Well, we're going to do part two of our conversation, and we're going to post online at democracynow.org. And also at democracynow.org, we're going to link to this whole remarkable history-making event that took place last night, Thursday night, in Rockland County. Angela Davis could not be silenced. Angela Davis, the world-renowned abolitionist, author, activist, and distinguished professor emerita at University of California, Santa Cruz. Her autobiography has just been published by Haymarket. She'll be speaking at BAM tonight on that autobiography. And Nikki Hines, NIAC and NAACP president, community activist in Rockland County. A happy early birthday to Emily Gosselin, Democracy Now! Produced with Renee Felsmeitberg, Dina Gozder, Messiah Rhodes, Maria Teresaina, Tammy Warnoff, Sharina Nadurasan, Alkoff, Tamari Astugio, John Hamilton. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO's end-of-year drive is happening right now. We invite you to become a member today by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to the number 44321. Contribute now and help us meet our $70,000 goal by the end of the year. Join the KBOO family today at kboo.fm/give.
KBOO.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap here at KBOO. My name is Tammy, and with me is Althea Billings.
Who run the world?
Us. We do. Yes.
It didn't quite hit it all the way there. Hi, Tammy. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to a very interesting program that we're going to have.
Yes.
Challenging, but we're here.
We are here, yes. And that's what's important. We were off last week. We're very glad to be back. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. Of course, we are a talk radio program. Usually we like to do a two-parter today and get calls from our listeners. No calls today, unfortunately, but we would love to still hear your thoughts on what we're chatting about. And that you can do that by emailing us, thegapradio@gmail.com, and we will email you back.
Yes, we will. You got internet over there?
I got internet.
Boom.
How you doing?
I got four computers.
Yeah.
A half of it works.
Okay.
But that's why we're here.
Yeah.
To make something out of nothing.
Right.
Heck yeah.
As we've often done
here at KBOO.
Here at KBOO.
Which reminds me that KBOO is in the midst of its end of the year
membership
I'll say celebration, which is a celebration.
It is a celebration.
Here we are, wrapping up the year together.
2022. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it's over.
Yeah, I shouldn't start talking to you about what date it is, because as soon as February is short, you're thrown off for the rest of the year.
I'm still from November.
You're going to be really good in January, though. I bet you're going to be really on it, because February hasn't happened yet.
We've got to start over again. Oh, man, February does start very early in the year,
yeah.
And it messes me up for the rest of the year.
Every month she's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's March, but February was so short. I don't know.
So there'll be a leap year next year?
No, I think the leap year is 2024.
Oh, a lot of things are going to be leaping in 2024.
Whoa.
Got them.
Okay. All right. Let's finish the pitch, though. If you want to support us in our membership drive, become a member, support the station. You can go to kboo.fm/give. You can text KBOO to 44321, or you can, of course, always mail us a check. down here at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214.
Yes, this is a great experiment in democracy and radio, and we are so proud to be part of it, and we're asking you to be part of it as well. Make your donation today.
Great.
Yay.
Can I tell you a little, before we get into, we're discussing news items today, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something that happened last night?
Yeah, please.
So I went roller skating.
Great.
And am I great at roller skating? The answer is no. But I'm passable. And like over the course of every time I go roller skating, which at this point is about once a year, I do get better. So I'm, you know, skating along, staring at the floor.
Sure.
Whoa. I had one fall last night. So that's pretty good. And it was on my knees as well.
Ooh.
Last time I was at the roller rink, I hit the back pretty hard. Got the wind knocked out of me. Anyway, I'm skating along, you know, doing my thing. And they're playing this sort of like organ carnival music.
Nice.
And I can't really, like, it just sounds like, I can't pick out the songs, but every so often my friend will whip by and she's like, that's Fiddler on the Roof. And, like, go past me. She's like, this is Memory. And I'm like, okay, I can't tell. I don't know how you're selling. And there's everybody at the skate rink, people are so good at skating. It's crazy.
It's really cool.
Whoever, whatever you think, like someone who's really good at roller skating, whatever you think they look like, you're wrong. Like, there's people of all walks of life, like
everything,
young,
yeah,
old, whipping around. And there's this one older woman in this cool striped shirt who, while this, like, organ carnival music is playing, she's sort of, like, operatically singing. So you just, every so often, you're like, ah! And she's, like, giving a little clap. And we're like, oh, that lady's so cool. Like, this, none of this has lyrics, but nice. But she comes up to me at one point. She's like, you're doing great.
Aww.
And I was like, me? I'm doing great? And she goes, but what you have to do now is you have to look up.
Mm.
Look at the windows. Look at the people. Wherever you look, you're going. And instead of looking down, when you look down, you're just over two wheels. When you look up, you're over four. And then she's like whisked away. And I was like,
your little skating angel.
Whoa. I just got some wise counsel from the operatic skater. And that was crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It kind of like filled my heart, to be honest. And I was like, all right, I guess I have to look up now.
It's cool to see people like excel at something that where you're like, you know, you can barely, you're just like looking down, can barely hold yourself up. And then you've got someone who's doing it so effortlessly.
Yeah.
It's very cool. And hey, every master was a beginner at some point.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very cool thing to be good at.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't figured out how to stop. And there are people that are better than me that don't know how to stop.
Listen, as long as gravity is a thing.
As long as there's a wall, I suppose.
You won't need to.
I'll stop when I hit the deck. How about that?
when gravity wants you to stop.
Exactly. That was my little roller skating story that I thought you might enjoy.
I do. I hope that the person that was with the striped shirt that was giving you the tips, with the voice of an angel, is listening and is like, oh, that's me. Yay. You're famous now.
You're famous. Welcome to the radio. Welcome to the big leagues.
Ooh.
How about that? Okay. Should we? We have a few news items to discuss with you today.
And we can do the what are we reading now segment a little later if you want.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whoa. We got time, babe.
We do have time. Did we let the listeners know that the phones are down and that's...
say that, but it's worth mentioning.
Yes, the phones are down. I'm sorry, but that's right. We are on the internet, so you can... And the half a computer that's working. and you can definitely hit us up on there.
TheGapRadio@gmail.com. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
So what are you reading now, Althea? What are you reading? Which one do you want to start with?
Because we were off last week.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of interesting things have happened since then, both local and national. Where do you want to go first? You want to go here first?
We it doesn't matter. All right, there we go. You said it and we're doing it.
Okay.
What we're reading right now is
the Willamette Week cover story from this week about the catalytic converter ring that got busted a few months ago. This is a long article. I'll tell you what. I read the online version yesterday. It's a little bit of a time investment, but it
twists,
is
turns. I laughed. I cried. I was biting my fingernails.
Yeah.
You know. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have so much detail. Okay, well, we should maybe go back a little bit.
Yeah, give us the setup.
If folks are not familiar, there has been a lot of theft of the catalytic converters on cars, which is on the undercarriage of cars. Yeah. And apparently from this article, I learned that it takes as little as 30 seconds to steal one of them.
Yeah.
So, and this has been an issue, like a serious issue. There have been like 20 thefts a month, if not more, that were reported.
Yeah, it's a big thing. And part of the reason that they get stolen, right, is that they... So the catalytic converter, what it does on the car is that it takes carbon monoxide and turns it into carbon dioxide. So it makes it less toxic, right? And inside the catalytic converter, there's some precious metals.
That precious metal.
That do that. Palladium, platinum, and rhodium. And it works... I mean, catalytic converters work great, but those metals are super valuable. So people go in there, cut them out, and you know, eventually bust them open, melt down the metals, and make new catalytic converters.
And this has been an issue. Oh, and of course, if you don't have your catalytic converter,
catatonic converter,
you can't drive your car. You might be able to drive it for like a second, but that's
I mean, it's incredibly loud.
It's a very important piece of the car, and so and this has been an issue that's been... I mean, I've been saying Portland economy runs on catalytic converters for a while. It's been something that's been in the news for a long time. A lot of people have been impacted by this. And recently, I guess, what was it? Yesterday, the Willamette Week came out with the cover story.
Yeah.
From Portland to Jersey, inside the crime ring that shipped thousands of Oregon's stolen catalytic converters across the country.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. When I tell you twists and turns, the cops must have been sitting on this guy for a while.
Can I tell
you
the
amount of information?
Yeah, there's a ton of information here. Okay, so it's Beaverton. It's, you know, a lakeside property condo.
$5,000
in a month, right?
$5,000 a month. Can you imagine how much
in Lake Oswego
rolling around in dough if he was able to do that? My God.
Well, I mean, there was like a rash of catalytic converter thefts. Yeah, and it was a big deal. Everybody's like, "Who's stealing all these catalytic converters?" Like, we got to do something about this.
They had all the cops were posing with all the catalytic converters that they found. Like, it was like a drug raid or something.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like a serious amount of... I saw the pictures. I thought that it was like a factory. Like, were they manufacturing? It's like, no, these were all stolen.
So this is about Brennan Doyle, which they, like, the cops, you know, admit. They're saying this is like a drop in the bucket, even though there's like multi-million dollar operation to steal Oregon catalytic converters and mail them to Jersey to be melted down. And it has to do with organized crime. Once they busted this guy, catalytic converter theft in Portland dropped 28%. That's so much.
Yeah, that is.
They were doing work, okay?
And it's, you know, we got to think, if with the volume that they were bringing in, it wasn't just Mr. Doyle alone, you know, lone wolf with a pair of pliers, or I don't know if you need pliers, but, you know, with a pair of tools doing this. This was, like you said, organized. And
yeah,
oh,
and
boy,
and the
info.
Other thing is that it's just like, it's very loosely organized, I would say. Like, they, according to this article, they found the New Jersey connection via Facebook, like someone who wanted to buy catalytic converters like 1,000 at a time. And it's like this dude and his buddies and his girlfriend. And they like wiretapped them and stuff. And they're just like, yeah, they were like very candid over the phone. They're like, yeah, how many did you get?
I can imagine.
Like the Beaverton Mall or whatever, you know?
Oh, my God. I can imagine, since it's not like, maybe because it's not like, you know, like illicit substances and stuff. Maybe that's why they felt so comfortable saying it.
Yeah, maybe.
But this is, the plot only thickens, and the pictures and the information that they have, it really feels like I'm like reading a script, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe this is... If I didn't live here, I wouldn't believe this was real.
Right. I mean, an interesting aspect of this, right? Because it's going across the country, and this is not... this isn't the only one in Oregon. This isn't the only one in this region doing this. Like, it's a small amount of the overall thing, but...
28%, though.
Right. Yeah. But part of this is that an Oregon law from 2021 required scrap metal businesses to keep records of every catalytic converter they buy, including the VIN of the car that it comes from. So that's not... That's part of why catalytic converters are, one, easy to steal. Like, it takes 30 seconds to remove it. Two, they have a bunch of, like, valuable metals in them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no connection to the car that it comes from. So...
Yeah, it's like an easy...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the metal, everybody's like, okay, well, cool. But then people who are stealing them, like, it's going out of state is part of it. Which is just, I don't know. It's very, very interesting. A very in-depth read. They got maps in here. They're showing you everywhere they were. They're telling you they have the photo of the lake house.
They got a couple of photos of the lake, different angles. I thought they were they're doing real estate.
Yeah.
We're going from journalism to real estate with all these pictures.
Yeah.
The story of the way, like, how they spent the money and all, it just, again, there's just so much information that that's why it feels like a script almost. And, you know, there's, like, vast amount of, like, trips, fancy cars, jewelries, you know, like.
Yeah. Can I read you a little excerpt?
Yes, please do.
So this is the guy, Doyle. Doyle did little to hide his trail. He and his friends discussed shipments over the phone, including who was making deliveries and the amount of cargo, says Philip Kearney, assistant special agent in charge at the Oregon DOJ. Quote, they were flamboyant, kind of party boys.
I bet. I could see that. That's the vibe I got.
Yeah, yeah. And they, $22 million worth of catalytic converters in the past 2 years they sold. $10 million. They haven't even tracked down all the cash that he's gotten. But yeah, like they're saying, the organization of all of this, this literal organized crime ring running off of a Lake Oswego lake house, is not unique in Oregon. There's probably a number of them that are very similar to this.
This is, it's also like a very well-written article too.
Yeah. Shout out the author, Lucas Mainfield.
For sure.
Well done. And also just like the photo on the front page, like it really does look like an organ or something, like the way that it's like a little bit too
long or something.
You can tell that everybody holding it up, it's like a little bit unwieldy for them. They're like, it's big. Okay. It's big. It's got important metal in it. You know, catalytic converters, I think the article says, make up 80% of the world's rhodium.
Oh my God. I didn't.
It's a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. This is a very informative article about catalytic converters. About the
organization
itself. You laugh, you'll cry.
I think the other thing is, like, it doesn't take much to do organized crime. It was kind of one of my takeaways.
I don't want to, like, you know.
Well, I'm not encouraging
anything.
I would never.
And it also made me, I mean, it, you know, takes a, it, innovate, like, not innovation, it takes a lot of work to do this, for sure, you know? And it's, we were kind of talking about this with, not related to this, with the pandemic profiteering, with all the people that were creating, like, you know, that were working for the city or that were contracted with them, and they were supposed to do, like, all these
billing
COVID events, and they just created fake catering companies and fake websites and embezzled, like, millions. And it's like, you know, for all this work, you could have actually been working for for not just like a self-serving cause, you know, like you've got it, like there's something in, you're an entrepreneur, you know, like you've got it in you. About if we redirect it, you know?
Yeah. Also the wild thing about, because you need a catalytic converter on your car. Like these catalytic converters, they get stolen, they get moved across the country, they break them open, they melt down the metals to make new catalytic converters that they sell back to the people that they stole it from.
It sounds like they sound like a government. They sound a little bit like they, not saying like they're CIA or something. I'm just saying like this scam.
Mm.
It's like it sounds a lot. Pharmaceuticals do these type of scams. Like this is what they do. They say you need this thing, and it's like Apple, right? It's like you need to charge your phone.
Yeah.
But we're gonna make it one specific charger.
But we're gonna change it, so you actually have to give us more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, and I'm not like saying this is good in anyone. Of course, it harmed a lot of people, and I wouldn't know what, if God forbid this, you know, I had to deal with this, I wouldn't know what to do, and I would, you know, it's money that I have to spend, and it's time that I had lost, and you know, work, and you know, who knows what the situation is there, so. There's definitely a lot of harm, and I think I don't want to make this lighthearted because it really isn't. And also, just all the information here, it is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Enough is never enough, I think, sometimes.
Mm.
At some point, people do get, and there isn't enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it just like, it's a major bust, and it's still like a drop in the bucket of the whole thing.
Yeah, and think about it, 28? You said 23%?
28% of catalytic converters.
That's still under like 50. Like,
yeah, if you're organized crime, you're like, well, how much crime were you doing? You're like, oh yeah, we made up about 30% of the catalytic converter theft market share in the city of Portland. It's like, okay, it's nothing to sneeze at.
That's putting that on the resume, I guess.
They're putting in work.
But that, yes, great article. That's what we are reading. And wanted to share that.
Yeah, yeah, of course. We got some other stories to share with you as well. Before we get there, I want to remind folks that it is KBOO's end of year membership drive. It's the Stitching Together Communities Drive, okay? Aww. We're a patchwork of communities. Every hour, every day that you turn on the radio, you're going to hear something different.
That's true.
We come together for radio to bring it to all of our different communities. If that speaks to you, if you've appreciated KBOO this year, we would love to hear your support. Either telling a friend if you don't have the means, or maybe tossing us a couple bucks. That will be at kboo.fm/give, or you can text KBOO to 44321.
Thank you, Althea. That was amazing.
Thank you.
And back to our scheduled programming. We are going to continue on with our news roundup.
Yeah, where do you want to go next?
We can go with the $27 million.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
27 mil.
Portland's City Council, in case you were wondering, has passed a $27 million budget package to fund their homeless encampment plan. This week, in a 3-0 vote, and wouldn't you know it, this is not the normal time for their budgeting process. This is the fall bump. Mm. They're also going to hold funds from the county as sort of a, well, is it like a hostage thing? Is it like a blackmail thing? Mm. Taking money away from what they would normally contribute to the Joint Office of Homeless Services to sort of like try to force the county's hand into funding this, I'll say it, half-baked plan.
That's a quarter baked. This is a plan. If you eat it, you die. For sure.
There may be salmonella contained in this plan, okay?
It's really disheartening to see how this plan. Okay, so the city, whatever, they have a plan, but the fact that that plan feeds off of basically closing things that are already working and helping.
Yeah. The budget cuts mean the loss of two existing shelters.
And yes, and that would within the year because of, oh my God, this is like just so heartbreaking. And it's not. We're gonna have to. I know. Yeah. We're sporadic right now because.
Yeah, maybe we should. Let's rewind the clock. Yeah. So late October, Commissioner Dan Ryan, Mayor Ted Wheeler, proposed this plan where they say we're gonna ban unsanctioned camping on the street, and we're gonna build mass open air shelters. This is partially because a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling says you can't sweep people from, you know, sitting, laying, camping on public property if you don't have a redirect for them, if you don't have sufficient shelter beds. In the entire pandemic, and, you know, for the past several years, we haven't had that. So there hasn't been, like, the city cannot sweep mm-hmm. everybody off the street because they can't.
There aren't beds
available.
They can't
shelter them. Right. So that is what the camping. So they ban camping. You got to go to these open air shelters, or you're in jail.
And it's the emergency declaration.
Yeah, they made there's an emergency declaration. They proposed this without really running it by the other commissioners. They proposed it at a particular point in the election cycle to try to put pressure on the Hardesty Gonzalez race. That's my opinion. And so like when they announce it, everybody's like, oh, gosh, what do Rubio and Hardesty think? And they're like, okay, we haven't seen it. And the plan is incredibly expensive. There's an affordable housing component, but that's sort of like, oh, yeah, in the next 10 years, we'll mm-hmm. totally do housing. There's, like, over the next 10 years, the entirety of the plan, running these mass encampments, creating, having a redirect for people who are going to get fined, ticketed, arrested for camping on public sidewalks, and also running these camps, right? $10 billion. The city can't do that alone. So they certainly need funding from the county and the state. Mm. County and the state know nothing about this by the time it gets announced. There's no agreement. There's no accord. And the county's been kind of like tight-lipped about what it even means for them. And they haven't made comment. They haven't agreed to fund any part of it. So right before, or last week, I should say, they tried to push through an emergency funding, $27 million, to get this started, which would hire 50 outreach workers, open three camps that are 250 apiece, which they, I think, originally said that there was like 500 people per camp. That's what they were saying. They tried to have they called it an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency funding requires that all five commissioners vote yes. Hardesty votes no. It doesn't go through last week. This week, wouldn't you know it, Hardesty's on vacation and Rubio's out sick. So in a 3-0 vote, look who has now spent $27 million of the taxpayers' dollars on this plan, and also plans to withhold, I believe, like $15 million from the Joint Office of Homeless Services, which is like a collaboration with the county. That's the backstory.
Mm.
Take it away, Tammy.
I have so many things I want to say about this. Starting off with, you know how you said that this week they voted 3-0?
Yeah.
I want to let people know you better get ready to keep seeing that zero, since Joanne Hardesty isn't there anymore. There'll be no one there that cares about the good of the people to vote against these outrageous things. So that was really disheartening. When I read that, I was like, where's the one? Like, it's always one, you know, it's like Joanne Hardesty versus everyone, really, sometimes.
There's a lot of this. I mean, right, the plan is bad. ever since they announced it, extensive testimony from unhoused Portlanders, from mutual aid organizers, from people who do outreach, from nonprofits that try to serve people on the street, have testified and testified and testified and said, don't do this. This is a terrible, terrible idea. This doesn't help anybody.
It helps the developers that want to develop. There's too many poor people here.
The
this
tourism industry, they're like, why can't we go back to the old Portland? You know what I mean? We used to be known for the carpet. The breweries and the carpet and the stags.
It's infuriating to me after election. Like, why Dan Ryan has been silent for the last.
What happened to his Safe Rest Villages?
All of a sudden, now he's waking up, like, when things are, like, of course, it's after the election. It's all political, sure. I'm just trying to, like, understand. You said it, you know. It was definitely to throw a wrench in the whole Gonzalez-Hardesty race in order to kind of, like, ratchet up the conversation around the housing crisis and then be like, look what Joanne Hardesty did. Which, again, that's the transportation commissioner. Dan Ryan is the one who's the,
Dan Ryan, yeah.
It blows
when
my
is he
mind.
Up for real?
It's like pretty much just like say you didn't want to vote for Joanne because it's a black woman. Like just, you know, it's like just keep blaming her for all these things.
Yeah.
When she did do things like the Rapid Street, the Portland Street Response Team, and.
Yeah, arguably the biggest change.
And it makes me wonder. So now, let's say, you know, this, you know, it gets implemented and it starts and it goes into action. What about, like, the street response?
Sorry, I just realized Dan Ryan has 4 years. He got elected this year. I forgot.
Because he was silent. Because they were doing everything to make sure that no one was looking at him in his position and in his absolute...
How little he's done.
Yes, very, very little. And yet everyone was blaming Joanne Hardesty for housing. How does that make sense, Sophia?
I know.
It's just...
But also, like, rigging the testimony.
Oh, right. And it's so many things. And then his testimony with the rubber duck.
So that, like, business interests testified for an hour the first time that they opened this up. Not in the way, not like usually how it works, which is when people sign up to want to testify to city council. Ryan asked to put all of his his backers first. It's crazy.
It's not crazy. You want to know what, Althea?
Mm.
Now we see, and it's, do we think we deserve this? Apparently. Because this fella is still there making these rules, making these decisions.
Are you able to play the clip of what everybody was saying, or is that...
If this machine has audio, it should.
Is the slider up?
It is up.
Okay. Well, give it a go, and if not, I'll just describe it.
Do you want to set it up real quick?
Okay. This is an excerpt from the vote on the $27 million from MAPS, Ryan, and Wheeler.
I do not claim that the investments we make today will end Portland's homeless crisis. However, I do hope that with the investments we make today, we can mark the beginning of the end of Portland's homelessness crisis. Colleagues, for these reasons and more, I vote aye.
We have heard in these chambers from a very loud, passionate section of Portlanders that are not supportive of these resolutions. To those who came to testify, I hear your concerns. All of our offices have received nearly 1,000 calls and emails in support of the action this council is taking. Let me be clear, these resolutions do not criminalize homelessness. What is criminal is for government to continue to accept the status quo that has really accelerated over the last 5 years. My inspiration, do not accept the industry's status quo plan to wait until we have enough housing. We must act now. I vote aye.
I hear and I acknowledge the concerns and the upset that many Portlanders are expressing over the creation of these sanctioned sites. I've also heard and seen the hundreds of messages to my office that have supported this work. This is not a perfect solution, but it is a solution responsive to the reality that we face. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted.
There it is.
Just the rhetoric.
The thing, what's criminal is for government to sit around. So they're snitching on themselves. They call themselves criminals.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the most base thing Dan Ryan's ever said.
You just called yourself.
It is criminal how little you've done for this.
You can't tell you. It's always going to be your own people, right? You're snitching on yourself over here.
But like both, I don't know that MAPS acknowledged the people who like testified against, but Ryan and Wheeler being like, there were loud people who didn't like the idea. And I hear you. And I acknowledge you. Like never have, I can't imagine feeling less heard and acknowledged.
But there's
hundreds of thousands of support that I can't show you because they wouldn't come.
Because they're not loud, apparently.
Because they sent me a quiet email, which is how I like it.
It's not that they don't exist. You're just so loud that you just.
Which is how I prefer to hear from my constituents, is only when they like the stuff that I do. And is any of this in the public record of people who would testify for it? No, but I promise that there's people that like it and they told me themselves.
They just go to a different school.
They go, you wouldn't know them. They live in Canada. Okay.
This is
my girlfriend from Canada. Okay?
It's politicking. It's just I have no respect for people. Just be honest. Just be honest so people know what you're about and don't confuse people by saying
the honest part of this. And even if you take away like, hey, the big business interests are breathing down our necks and we're not going to get reelected, there was like about three or four like business headquarters, including Salt and Straw, who were like, yeah, we might leave Portland. What do you think about that? And they're like, no. So there's the business interests, of course. But this is also almost certainly a reaction to the Portlanders with Disabilities lawsuit. John DiLorenzo.
DiLorenzo.
But I mean, this is a reaction to that. This is like probably how they're going to try to get out of having to pay millions in a settlement in that lawsuit. You know, like there are motivations for doing this kind of thing without pretending that this is a solution that is supported by the people who are living it and the people who are doing the work, you know?
Interesting. I'm glad that you pointed that out.
Which, like, I guess just to your point, like, admit it, you know?
Just say this. Just let us know so that we know.
Yeah.
And then let the people make their own decisions. And this is exactly why, you know, sometimes people say, why are people voting against their own interest, you know? And it's like, because we're fed mush salad with word salad with mush and peas and carrots. We don't... And we're just eating it because we're hungry. Like, you know, it's really... and you know what? There is a problem with the housing. And it's not the people that are the problem. And if it is the people, then it's maybe the people that are creating unaffordable housing. Like, how is it... And they're saying, we're not criminalizing poor people. You're literally saying if you are poor and you cannot afford to have sheltering, then you need to be put away.
Yeah.
How is that not criminalizing someone for being poor?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like... You can't find housing, so you're bad. Like, what is this moral?
You know what they're gonna say? They're gonna
cup?
Say like it's a civil citation. It's not a criminal complaint. But like,
what is the civility, Althea? Where?
No civility. But I just for folks, if your reaction to that is like, oh, so what's a little fine? You know, like that. If you get fined by the city and you can't pay it, you don't have enough money to get to your court date. You're late. You're not on time. You can't pay it. Like. all of these things snowball into a cycle that becomes more and more difficult to escape. You're adding another compounding factor of what makes it hard for people to stabilize in the economic conditions that we're in right now.
But Althea, it's okay, because they thought about this. And so that's why they have, and this is just, this is kind of going back to the catalytic converter, where they steal your catalytic converter and then they smelt it and then they
sell it back to you.
Yeah. This is from the article right here.
Yeah.
They're talking about the funding and what it's going to do. One of it is fills budgetary gaps in the department responsible for sweeping homeless camps and pays for a contractor to help set up a diversion program.
Oh, the diversion at the
to
DA's
soften
office.
The blow of criminal penalties levied against people camping outside. So they'll give you a fine, and then they'll give you someone to go help you out how to fix.
Yeah, they were gonna punch you in the face, but now they're just gonna slap you real hard. Isn't that better? And it's like, I guess, but like, why did you have to hit me to begin with? Like, we could go back to that part.
They're gonna slap you in the face and hire someone else to. They're gonna hire someone else to slap you in the face.
You're gonna slap you in the face, and then somebody else is gonna come by and trip you. Okay.
This is unbelievable. Also, the proposed plan right now is looking at 6 outdoor. Concentration camp, excuse me, encampment.
Little slip of the tongue there, Tammy.
And there'll be 250 people each. So we're looking at 1,500 people.
Which I believe,
I don't even know these stats. I think we should have these
stats. I believe we're at like, I think it's somewhere around 3,000.
I don't know how you're going to have the nuances of like the people and God, and you have like veterans, you have children.
People just have testified extensively about like, hey, how do you know it's going to be safe for us there? Yeah. They don't have an answer for that.
Because they're looking to end the quote unquote. That's what they're saying. They keep saying in their own words, and at least they're being honest when they're saying they want to end the homeless problem. Not the housing problem, the homeless problem. That's the problem. The problem isn't that people can't buy houses. It's not the problem that
people can't afford rent.
Young people can't afford rent. That's not the problem. The problem is that they are homeless people. That's the problem. Yeah. They are the problem. And it's just, it's who created that problem? I want to know.
You know what's the best?
It just happened. There's just that someone came here and did a trick, a magic trick, and poof. Now you have people that are suffering and freezing?
Yeah.
Why do they not see that this is irresponsible governance, you know? Like, in the words of Rand Dyan himself,
Ayn Rand.
Dan Ryan himself, this is criminal behavior by the government.
Yeah. What's criminal is the status quo. And who are your friends that are sort of enforcing the status quo?
And how long have you been? Have they been there long enough to call themselves the makers of the status quo? I think so.
There's just a quote from, we're looking at the Portland Mercury article about, you know, the Multnomah County's kind of reaction to this. I have a quote for you.
Sure.
Multnomah County Chair Deborah Kefouri has declined to commit new funding to the city's plan. Instead, pointing to the millions of funding already dedicated by the county to regional programs proven to address chronic homelessness. She's additionally accused the city of using faulty data to sway the public support of this plan. The incoming chair, Jessica Vega Peterson, has said vaguely that they're going to figure it out, but hasn't said that they're like super into it. It's wild. And they're like, oh gosh, I forgot about this part. Part of what Ryan said in that quote.
Oh God.
Is criticism of the houseless industry.
The industry.
Yeah, you're right. The nonprofits making sure people have sleeping bags. You're right. They're.
It's not the.
They want to perpetuate themselves. They want more people on the street. You're so right about that.
It's the nonprofits that are manifesting this, not the landlords and the developers and the ground. Like, it's not. That's the industry creating the housing situation. It's not the nonprofits that are helping and, you know, with landlord disputes and.
It's like, it's, if you have a cut and you put you're like holding a towel or something to try to staunch the bleeding. You're like, you know what's making this worse? that thing you're using to stop the bleeding.
It's
you're like, take that
right,
off.
Yeah.
Let it free bleed. Everybody loves that. You know what we need? Leeches.
You said it. Mm. There's another quote here by Dan Ryan he's got some bangers in this one. The people's money is there to invest in the system improvement. It's like he just.
But is this put to voters? Is the entire council even there?
It's a people's money is there. It's there. The money is there. The people have paid. We have to use it. Use it or lose it. Right? No.
I mean, that's the other thing that came to mind when I was thinking about this is like, now you're building. Talk about building an industry.
This is literally building a complex.
50 government jobs with 20 funded by $27 million that they don't
of taxpayer money
that they don't have guaranteed for next year.
I wonder,
like, not to be a government spending hawk, but that's going to perpetuate itself on a proposal in a system that doesn't even work, that doesn't even fix the problem. It's not gonna stop the bleeding. It's gonna make the bleeding worse.
Also, with all due respect, I'm sure there's like a listener here or there who's like, well, you know, but the situation is so dangerous and I feel unsafe and, you know, I go to work in the morning and this, and it's unsafe for everyone.
The only one.
If folks are driving right now or if you, you know, driving up here, like how many tents of you did you see on the way up here?
Yeah.
And what's the weather right now? You know, like it's just, and with all due respect, like, honey doll, most of us are a couple of paychecks away from being in that situation, you know?
Yeah.
So this isn't. It takes a village, you know. This is what it means when it takes a village. It's you do have to be a government spending hawk, and you do have to figure out, well, why, what's going to be the next, you know, kind of keep up. What's going to be the next step after this?
Right.
And what's the next step after this? So the Joint Offices of Homeless Services, that's looking like it might. It's looking like it's up in the wind. Like it might not be able to sustain itself.
Right.
You gotta I'm wondering what's gonna happen to the Portland Street response. You know,
are they gonna be rendered,
you know, useless if they're gonna have these concentration camps that they're gonna have?
You called them concentration camps again by accident.
Whoops, did not mean that.
Because
it's always a good thing when governments come together and use taxpayer money to create camps for people
to live in
without any oversight whatsoever.
I mean, if you look at history, it's always gone well, is kind of the thing that no one's addressing about it.
Here's what
I want to say. It is a complex, multifaceted problem that has been fed by the past 20 years.
Yeah.
And right now, we are at an inflection point. Like, there's no denying that things are, like, we're not saying that things are good.
No, not at all.
No, I don't think anybody's making a normative judgment of like, no, I like it this way, and I think it's better that this is what's happening. But it's a complex problem, and the solution isn't to, like, there has to be a multifaceted solution that is more complex and more compassionate than this.
And we don't have to figure it out, because you know what? You got places like Sisters of the Road, JOHS. You have so many places that have dedicated their professional careers and time to solving,
it's like the city isn't even keeping accurate data of what they are doing. And from, you know, like a lot of anecdotal evidence from people out on the street, they've never been approached by somebody with a redirect.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been approached by somebody who's like, hey, do you want to get into, I can get you a couple of nights at this shelter and get you a meeting with someone who might be able to find you some work.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, oh, you're having a substance abuse problem. We actually have an opening. Do you want to go over there? Like, I can help you move your stuff. Like, they're not getting any of that. And that's like the whole, it's all supposed to be based on the idea. Like, how can you tell people that they're wrong for living on the street when a lot of the options of like congregate shelters and stuff are unwelcoming, undesirable? People would rather be on the street. They feel safer out on the street than they do in a congregate mm-hmm. shelter situation. How are you going to tell them that they're wrong for that when you haven't even approached them with an alternative? They're like, nothing we're doing is working. It's like, what are you doing? You can't even show the data of what you are doing. So that's why Street Roots started collecting their own data on this stuff, you know, like trying to figure out what is the city and the county doing about this. Who's holding them accountable? They're not keeping their own data accurately.
You know, then they got the private, you know, private security firms like Echelon and stuff, and yeah. they're keeping the data, you know, and they're yeah. not going to share it because they don't have to because they're private.
Proprietary. You know? Yeah, that's the other thing that Wheeler, I think, announced this week is that there's going to be a reset in this neighborhood, actually, in the Central East Side, much like the Old Town reset, where, like, for a day or a week or so, they just force everybody out of the neighborhood, and then they come back. But it
yeah, notice the boulders that are supposed to, like, this is what people invent, you know, like the boulders are, you know,
see these random rocks?
This random Think rocks. About it. If you walk somewhere and you see a random rock in Can the middle of you? Open space.
Off of Hawthorne, I went to the bank last week. Not only are there rocks in the ground, there's rebar staked mm-hmm. around yeah. them, hold yeah. and just random rebar stakes. That's not safe for Listen, like dogs walking gotta, by. Okay, think, let alone people. Go ahead.
You got to think. What is this? The fact that there's a whole, I'd call it like, deaf not agriculture. Architecture or like an architecture that's created to be uncomfortable for people to sit on or to lay on.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Like, instead of finding, like, humane solutions for people to... And I see storage units. I say, this is a massive new built storage unit. We see all of these new developments empty. Five, maybe, windows with lights on them, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
And I just... And instead of finding ways to help people in a way where they can actually, like, prosper, you know what? Maybe salt and straw, let them all the businesses leave. All the big businesses leave. You're trying to tell me Portlanders aren't innovative? Look at this Kalina converter guy. You're trying to tell me Portlanders, you're trying to tell me Oregonians aren't innovative
okay,
enough?
Okay, new
that they
idea. What we need,
that they
we
can
need
make
to set
their
up
own
a
businesses.
Think tank of Portland leaders in that Lake Oswego lake house, okay? They need to go there, $5,000 a month. They're going to come up with something big.
But I'm serious, though. It's like... If a business wants to leave, let them leave. You're gonna have you're gonna have ice cream, ice cream peddlers tell you how to run your city. Come on now, this is inhumane. Ice cream over people. That makes no sense. No sense.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we could do, and even if they're like just, I mean, I'm also like a data nerd, so I get like especially perturbed about that aspect. But just like, if you even had evidence that like. Hey, so with what infrastructure we have right now, with our current strategies, we've been able to like get 10 people into transitional housing a month, and five of them will stay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, at least that's...
You can have some projections.
At least that's like a number that you can look at, you know? At least there's an understanding of what the impact is. And then you can say, okay, well, why didn't those other five people stay? Or what can we do to expand to increase that number 10 of people who are getting outreach, right?
Well, instead of the stats, you get Dan Ryan with a rubber ducky trying to play on people's emotional.
He did cry in the thing, and
Did he cry in his living room? Was it his bedroom?
It was in City Hall. He had been given a rubber duck by an unhoused Portlander who had one that, you know, she would squeeze to like let her know that it's going to be okay. And she gave him one, which is very nice. And he got emotional and he said, she's my inspiration. Didn't quite clearly say if she supported this plan or not, but that would be literally one unhoused person supporting.
And then
he gets all choked up about it.
So that's, I don't know. And that's, now imagine her having to deal with, you know, 249 other people in a God knows what type of facilities. Like, this is not, you know, this everyone.
I mean, yeah.
This
anyway.
It's just so frustrating, and it's never going the right direction. And the just the business. Is there like no business out there that like can at least like pretend to have some sort of like moral compass, just so that they can make other people feel like they have to be nice? You know, like, what's the thing, like the Google thing when they're like, don't be evil or something?
Oh.
Like, at least like pretend like you, so that people have to get along, like at least, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, and I don't want to like, you know, blanket statement say that it's all business owners, because I think there's a lot of business owners in this city who are out there every day, you know, working to make a living and understanding what's going on the street and still have compassion, you know? and still are like looking at ways to engage with their community and how can they
and they take their position as a community business owner responsible. It's a responsibility, a serious responsibility, and they do like lead with that in trying to help out people.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen,
yeah,
a couple of folks that are owners of some places, and it's like, oh, I see what you're doing, and they're literally there every day on the street, not on the street, but in their store, and out in the world, seeing exactly what's happening and what people have to deal with. And we'll definitely keep an eye out, and I hope we'll be able to get someone from the Office of Joint.
The Joint Office of Homeless
Joint
Services.
Joint Office of Homeless
Services. Yeah, we would love to talk to somebody. We kind of went off.
We went off, yes. We have about...
we have 10 minutes. And I just want to say that we are very sorry that the phones are down today. You can send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com. You can also send us an Instagram message if you'd like to, @thegapradio. We love to hear from you. We're sorry we can't do more hearing from you today. We hope you enjoyed our rant about this whole thing.
We'll do double trouble next week.
Maybe we'll do more when the phones are back. We would love to do that.
Do you want to do the two good news?
Yeah, let's do some good news. I want to say before we go to that very quickly, that it is our end of year membership drive. We would love for you to support us. If KBOO has meant something to you over the past year, if you found out new information, if you found a new artist, you found a new song that you love, I've certainly done that.
Oh yeah.
Maybe it is a good time to make a tax deductible donation to us, kboo.fm/give, or by texting KBOO to 44321.
Awesome. Also, before we go to more positive news,
yeah,
I want to say maybe Salt and Straw should have not open up stores in a place where it's like rainy and it's cold like 11 to 10 months of the year. I know that's not the part. I'm just being petty.
Never mind. I was gonna do a joke, but I didn't come together. We got a little bit of good news, folks.
Some
we don't
want
to leave you on the bad. Which one do you want to do first? Should we do the national?
Oh, I guess there's some really bad stuff too, but no, we got less left. National. Start with national, back local.
The Respect for Marriage Act is looking like it's going to pass. The Senate passed it, 12 Republicans signed on, protecting, to a certain extent, gay marriage and interracial marriage. If it was legal where it was performed, you got to recognize it in these 50 states. Which, in the outcry after the Supreme Court decision of Roe, which Clarence Thomas wrote in his concurring opinions, like, hey, maybe somebody wants to say that the Obergefell, like the gay marriage decision, was wrong.
Who's also in an interracial marriage, just putting that out there.
Right. And so so much of the outcry afterwards was like, Democrats, you could have codified Roe in the past 50 years and you did not. Literally, why? So, it's nice to see that there is protection going into federal law that's not just going to rely on this wacky Supreme Court. What are they going to do?
You're saying, why did people, why is this even up in 2022?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
I guess
who's voting against this in 2022?
I guess we're just reevaluating everything, just seeing if it sticks. But I think Roe versus Wade was
still sticking to the wall.
Right? Yeah, we see. I think there's a lot of like trying to be like, oh, okay, we need to codify this. And also, there's a part in this AP article that they were saying that there was a lot more traction around this after last week's nightclub shooting in Colorado.
Yeah. And that it was strategically brought up after the election to try to alleviate pressure on Republicans who might be up for re-election. Like, hey, look, you're either in or you're out. Just vote. Just maybe do the right thing and protect people's right to marry.
Politics. It's politics like this that reminds me why I left D.C. It's so disgusting.
But hey, look.
It's strategic, I get it.
They did something.
It's strategic.
Which is better than nothing.
Yes.
And won't just have us waiting around until the next Supreme Court term when somebody comes up and says, hey,
I see you're having a good time over there.
I would love to sort of get in there and say that it's not allowed to get married to people who you love. Whatever. Okay. So we're glad about that.
Yes,
the point.
Yes,
we kind of came out in a sort of a negative
lens. Well, because it's like,
I mean, it is
good. We saw with Roe versus Wade, you're right. You saw and how these things have to be. They have to be codified or else.
That is at risk. And then more locally.
Very good news. Very, very huge news. I'd say I'm actually surprised this hasn't made national news, but it will.
Yeah.
Althea, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Don't Shoot Portland won their lawsuit that they filed in 2020 against federal police for the crowd control use. Federal police and Portland police used in the protests. $250,000 plus attorney's fees to five protesters who were in the lawsuit. $1 to Don't Shoot Portland.
Aww.
And they got a lot of really interesting concessions out of it. Portland police in the settlement can no longer use rubber ball distraction devices. They have to destroy their supply of flashbang grenades.
Hmm.
They're not allowed to use the LRAD, the audio disruption crowd control situation anymore. The injunction on using munitions and tear gas will continue for the next 14 months. And I would think that it may last longer than that, knowing how Portland police have dealt with their settlements in the past. As in, we're still under one from 2014.
Mm-hmm. DOJ.
And the DOJ, and they keep failing every time. They're like, hey, are you guys doing better? No, we're not doing better. We're doing worse. We're, you know, great, like 2 years in the making, seeing this come to fruition for Don't Shoot Portland.
I want to also, the interesting part, when I was reading this from protectdemocracy.org, which was one of the organizations that filed the lawsuit on behalf of Don't Shoot Portland. The three claims that were made was that federal law enforcement officers exceeded their limits of authority. The second is that the Trump administration deployed federal law officers at enforcement in Portland violated the protesters' Fourth Amendment right, and also the First Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, and this is interesting, the Department of Homeland Security Acting Secretary Chad Wolf, who was never confirmed by the Senate, was unlawfully serving in his role at the time, rendering his orders against the Portland deployment void, for the Portland deployment void. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of huge. I guess I forgot about it somewhere in the ether, but that's a pretty big scandal.
You know,
so
what I'm
it's
wondering?
Pretty great that he won.
You know, Chloe Udaly's thing about the fence. Do you feel like that has any traction now? Get the payout from the government for illegally putting up a fence? I don't know, people.
Chloe, I'm a renter you daily.
Yep. But there's a quote from Teresa Rayford, the executive director of Don't Shoot Portland. She said in a statement, "This is a win for organizers and anti-fascist activists everywhere. Our freedom of expression is the foundation of how we make social change possible. Black lives still matter. Stay in the streets."
Hmm.
Good
there
stuff,
it
good
is.
Stuff.
That's a pretty that's again pretty big win, I'd say. Nothing to sneeze at. It's
nothing
a pretty
to
big
sneeze
deal.
At something that sticks, like.
And again, I think that even with the mayoral race, last year, I don't even know. I think that Teresa Rayford definitely showed herself to be a worthy adversary for some of the powers that be.
Yeah,
whether
certainly.
It's a write-in campaign or this. Pretty massive lawsuit
like,
that
about,
they won.
Talk about doing something about it. You know,
talk about and not you see. It's almost as though people who are not politicians can do more to help the people.
And can I say one thing? I know that we ranted for a while about the budget situation and the 3-0 vote and how frustrated we were about it. This is something that is something that makes me so glad that charter change passed.
Mm-hmm. All of this is temporary. At least we can put a little expiration date.
All of it, like we are not going to have. Three guys at City Hall making this sweeping of a change solo. There will be 12 councilors from around the city that will have different perspectives and different constituents that elected them. You know, that's major.
I think we could do a whole another hour about how the charter change would mitigate all of these type of over or like
so good job Portland voters is all I'm saying. Well
yes
done.
Yes baby steps, but not baby steps, massive step, baby L steps,
huge steps,
step crawl, I don't care,
stepping out.
We're here, we're here stitched together here
on the Gap on KB Radio,
stitching communities
together. It's our end of your membership drive, people. We're almost out of time here, but there's still time to donate to KBOO. From now till the end of the year, it's our membership drive. We would love for you to become a member and help support the work we do here at KBOO, up and down the schedule, whether you like the talk shows, the public affairs shows, the eclectic music. Now is a great time to help us out. KBOO.fm/give is the website to donate, or you can text KBOO to 44321, and we really, really appreciate everybody who is helping us out.
Thank you, thank you. We'll see y'all next week. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves.
Wait, we should reintroduce ourselves. This is The Gap. We're sorry we didn't get to talk to you. We're going to work on it. Send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com.
Hopefully the phones will work next week. Yep. I'm Tammy.
Thank you for listening.
See ya.
Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Hello, dear listeners. Oil for Kisses is a monthly program on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, that highlights the headier and weirder sides of